Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program. We also encourage you to visit our website at www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given our service times. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. For the past few months, we have been looking at the book of Revelation. We are down to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17 begins a section of this book that tells us the certainty of the falling of Rome. Babylon the Great is going to fall. We begin reading in verse number 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, who sets on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." The awful harlot stands in dark contrast with the pure bride of Christ. This can be no mistake as to the identity of this harlot in the context of the Revelation letter. First, she is called Babylon. Second, she is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus in verse 6. Third, she is a great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth in verse 18. All these descriptions let us know that this is the imperial city itself, the city where the beast, the emperor worship, is worshipped, and from which have gone out the orders to persecute the saints of God. The kings of the earth had committed fornication with her, according to verse 2. Through their economic, military, culture, and especially religious alliances with Rome, they have been part of the process of trying to destroy God's people. This wicked woman is about to be punished for her seductions and her immorality. We've already seen that fornication is often used in Scripture as a means of a symbol of idolatry and spiritual apostasy. Rome's worship of her emperor and her exaltation of him to the place which only belongs to God alone was the grossest of all the idolatry that men can perceive. This is the great error that would cost Rome her existence. The action certainly qualifies her to be represented as a great harlot, seducing the nations of the world with her fornications. In one sense, she set upon many waters. That means she held sway over many people, and she thought she was secure. In another, she dwells in the wilderness. She is desolated because she's coming down. John was allowed to see this vision in Rome, the woman sitting on the scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns in verse 3. The beast of Revelation is not a new figure. It has been already identified as Rome personified in its emperor in chapter 13. The picture of the harlot sitting upon the beast reminds us of the city of Rome owned this position to the emperor's head and the powerful Roman state. In verse 4 through 6, she is given a fit description, especially in verse number 5. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abomination of the earth. And then verse 6 tells us that she was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Her dress and her jewelry indicate her wealth and her splendor. The golden cup from which she drank was loved by her, but seen as an abomination by John. It contained the intoxicating history of the persecution of God's people and the blood of her saints. She had her name written on her forehead. It has been characterized that the prostitutes of Rome in this time of history, they have their names tattooed or branded on their foreheads. The form of the name she wore, that her evils were great enough to have compromised many more than just herself. At this point, the story The angel who carried John to see the vision of the wicked woman paused to explain the certain parts of it to him. In particular, he focused on the identity of the beast, that the beast was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. That means destruction. This is symbolic representation of the history of the Roman emperors in relation to the church. The beast was likely pointing to the past persecution that was initiated by Nero. Yet Nero himself is no longer, for he died, and the harm that he has done to the church has subsided. The beast is about to come up out of the abyss and make one last ditch stand against God's work in the world. And yet his fate is sealed, and he is destined to go into perdition. There can be no doubt that the identifying of this beast is Rome, and she is coming down. She is going to be defeated. Notice, it tells us in verse number 10, there are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue for a short time. The beast was not and is not, is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going into perdition. These are the emperors of Rome that wanted to try to destroy God's people by seducing them to commit spiritual idolatry. We notice here that the five that have fallen, Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, and Nero. There were three that followed them, but yet their combined reign was less than a year and a half, and they were really never recognized as emperors, Galba, Otho, and Vanellus. The one who is Vespasian, who reigned from 69-79 AD. The other has not come, and he will continue for a short time. That has reference to Titus in 79, who reigned from 79-81 AD. The beast that was and is not, and himself also is the eighth, is going into perdition. That beast of Revelation is Domitian, who reigned in Rome from 81-96. Domitian is the one who picked up the persecution of the Christians. He is the one that tried to enforce emperor worship. He determined that he was to be addressed as God, and all men needed to bow and pay tribute and honor to him as God, and failure to do so would result in their being put to death. And so, these are the kings that have risen and fallen, and the one who is now causing such havoc in the church, and the one who's really why emperor worship had taken on a new threat, he is going into perdition. He is going to be put down. Verse 11 says, and the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and he goes into perdition. As confusing as this sounds to our ears, unaccustomed to apocalyptic language, it may well have conveyed the following to those who read it. Nero is one of the five emperors already passed, thus he is not now a threat, yet he will rise again to torment us. Sweet reminds us that both Christian and pagan writers liken Domitian to his predecessor, Nero. The ten horns of the beast's seven heads represent ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority as kings, with the beast for 1 hour. These have one mind, and they give their power and authority unto the beast in verse 12 and 13. Conquered kings and rulers of countries allied with Rome, all of whom depended on Rome's favor for the right to retain power, have participated in her fornication and an effort to keep their position. They support Rome. They will be allied with her in the final showdown between the Lamb and the enemies. In other words, the Battle of Armageddon that so many place in the future. As surely as they have shared in the heartless fornication, they will also share in her fate. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. It is a battle that already has a determined winner. The battle will be God and will be the Lamb. In verse 16, Rome's fate at the hands of her former allies is predicted. With the tide of history turned against the once powerful harlot, she would be falling out among thieves. As the angel explained to John in verse 16 and 17, and the ten horns which thou sawest, and the beast, shall these hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and they shall burn her utterly with fire. For God did put in their hearts to do this, to do his mind, and to come to one mind, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God should be accomplished. This reveals how Rome's judgment in history would be accomplished. It would be at the hands of other nations. God's providence overrules all human affairs to the accomplishment of his purposes. We see that the doom of Rome for all of her atrocities against the people of God is going to be paid back. She is going to be destroyed. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. Makes no mistake, this is talking about Rome, her rule, her emperors. They are all going to pay for their ungodly actions against the Lord's church. There can be no misunderstanding who this woman is because of verse 4 and 6. In verse 4, she has in her hands a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her spiritual fornication. And verse 6 seals it when it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This is Rome, the emperors, and Rome, the great city who had persecuted and sought to destroy the church. We also see in the context of this study that in verse 14, that these will make war with the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Remember, Rome was a world power. She ruled over the earth. But the time is coming when that will no longer be so. And we understand that she was the world power at the time this letter was written. And, as we read in verse 17 and 18, God has put in the minds of her enemies that those who one time curried her favor and at one time were submitting unto Rome and her power and her authority would be to her undoing. History will prove that's exactly what happened. Rome was destroyed from within, and then she was completely destroyed from without. God is going to have final victory. The harlot, the great city of Rome, with his emperors equaling themselves to God, are going to be destroyed. They are going to submit and be overturned and overcome by the Lamb. Her actions will not go unnoticed, and her actions have consequences. We need to remember, friends, as we study this letter, that those who oppose God do so at their own personal risk. God's ways will always be vindicated. God is the one in his control, not men. No matter what the enemy, no matter how formidable she appears, no matter how great she thinks she is, and how powerful in her own eyes she appears to be, she is not the one who is in control. It is God Almighty. And with every decision and every choice that men make to oppose God, to oppose his people, to oppose his ways, and to oppose his laws, all come at a consequence. There is a day of reckoning. There is a time when the tables will be shifted. Make no mistake about it. Rome's doom is sealed. She is going to be destroyed. She is going to pay for her crime, and she is going to pay very heavy price. Understand this very thing. This is certain. Even though it would be hundreds of years from the time of the writing of this letter when Rome would finally fall, she did fall. And she did fall because she sought to destroy the people of God. The consequence for that is you arouse God, and God is going to have final say. Never forget, God is in control. Until next week, continue to listen and obey the Lord. Thank you.